News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. Good to have you along. No Quinn Hillier today, but if there's something you'd like to comment on, feel free. Give a call, 251-343-0106. We'll be happy to turn up your voice.
Yeah, feel free to even call and pretend to be Quinn Hillier if you want.
And this would be a perfect time for Quinn Hillier impersonators to give it a go for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. 251-343-0106. A lot we can talk about this hour. And it seems that maybe a little less discussion about the tariff war. It's starting to at least be... There's other news stories that have kind of taken more precedence while this drags on, although it's still a major international story.
The 90-day pause is it's allowing that to not be the front page right now.
Yeah, and some good news in the meantime with NVIDIA saying that they plan to completely develop, what was it they said, the... So, of course, NVIDIA, and their stock has been one of those we've been watching go up and down and up and down. They will begin producing their AI supercomputers entirely in the United States, partnering with Foxconn and Wistron, and will be building facilities in Houston and Dallas. They said it'll take about a year to 15 months to ramp up mass production and plan to manufacture up to $500 billion in AI infrastructure domestically over 4 years. You also have chips being produced in Arizona in mass as they look to ramp up production as well there, and really, really making a big attempt. And this kind of really began during the first term of Trump, and Biden carried it on some, but trying to bring chip production to the United States because of their importance. I think no matter where you stand politically, I would think you have to believe we have to keep as much of that in-house as possible or easy to get to in case the you-know-what hits the fans. But that seemed to be the thing that really shifted the markets around, was the relaxing the tariffs on chip imports and some of these conductors, these semiconductors. So I don't know where we go from here, but Apple considered it a big win when Trump made that announcement the other day.
Yeah, and it was... No, it was with Trump, but there was a Japanese firm, SoftBank, that was going to make a big investment in the U.S. in Arizona as well.
That came up really early on in the presidency.
Yeah.
Remember, that was like first week, I think, he had someone in talking about that. So
$100 billion.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Trump tried to push him up to a trillion during the meeting.
That's right.
A live public meeting. So
yeah.
I think you'll see stories like that here and there. And the next big shoe to drop will be what the EU decides to do with China, whether they will
play ball.
Yeah, play ball, increase their economic bond with China, or whether they'll come more Trump's way. I think that's maybe one of the next big shoes we'll see drop.
I would say that any agreement that you make right now doesn't necessarily need to be or want to be or would have to be the agreement that stays in place for a month or a year or whatever. You know, I mean, these nations or these deals can just kind of come and go on a whim depending on the way they're feeling at the time, you know?
Yeah. I guess, and that doesn't make markets feel great.
And I was thinking about Australia, because Australia, China offered them some deals, and a week ago or so they said no. Who knows, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks they might say, well,
yeah.
A little bit.
It's almost like Trump put the whole world into the transfer portal.
Yep. Kind of.
And, he told allies, are you sticking with us or going with them? Make your decision and we'll act accordingly. And now they're vetting every single player in the transfer portal and seeing what they can offer. So that is, I'd say, a lot of pressure you put on the Trump administration to get some deals done.
Well, he's put the pressure on himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got, let's say the number is 180, which seems crazy, but how many countries are we trying to deal with one-on-one Who's doing the dealing? You know, first team would be Trump. You know, he'd be our varsity letterman to be, if you get a chance to talk to Trump directly. Maybe that's better for us and not as good for your country. But they also made that stipulation, if you remember, Dalton, first ones to the table are actually going to get the first ones that say we are ready to deal in good faith. They're going to get the better deals.
Yeah, and they'll be first in line and get to make the deals. And you said he's the starter. I'd say that Besant is probably right now the other lead negotiator, although things may shift day to day. But I learned last night that Besant, the Treasury Secretary, he has lunch and has been friends for a long time with the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. So Besant, and they're already vetting the next Fed Reserve chair because Powell's term ends in May of next year. And Besant, who was in Argentina, and they've been getting around a lot in the cabinet, he said they're kind of looking into who they may be hiring next to replace Jerome Powell. But he says he has a meeting with Powell weekly, which is interesting because Trump is still going after Jerome Powell. I think he Truth Socialed last week that he wants to see the interest rates drop. And that's been a common refrain from Trump towards Powell. But Besant said... he emphasized preserving the Fed's independence on monetary policy, but suggested more debate is needed around the Fed's regulatory role, and said he's not worried about Trump political interference, and said there's no current alarm over financial stability or bond market conditions. One-upping Besant, though, yesterday, you have Trump's economic advisor, Kevin Hassett, who insisted there's 100% no chance of a recession this year. He cited strong job numbers and CEO optimism despite all the uncertainty surrounding tariffs. And so what Hassett is saying is pretty much in direct opposition to what Jamie Dimon with J.P. Morgan has been saying and Larry Fink with BlackRock. They're saying a recession is likely or already underway. So we'll see. The Trump administration, Kevin Hassett in particular, making a big promise there, 100% no chance of a recession this year.
Huh.
But remember, they kind of changed. They didn't kind of change. They changed the definition of a recession while Biden was in office.
Yeah.
Two quarters of negative growth has, I think, for the longest time meant you're in a recession. But under Biden, that wasn't the case.
They did so many things that were so... yeah, and just right in front of our face. But like, for instance, do you know the order that now is trying to be held up by a court because Trump wants to deport a lot of the people that were here on that CHNV program?
Yeah, the refugee program.
Yeah, so that thing was started. This was their strategy. I forgot about this until I read it the other day. They were like, okay, we need to ease what's going on at the border. How do we do that?
Yeah.
Well, we let a 500,000 in. Legally.
But temporarily.
But that'll solve the whole... No. You that's BS.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't... That wasn't going to relieve what was going on at the border. Securing the border could have done it, but they kept coming at the border. You just added another 500,000.
Yeah, and that was another one that a judge yesterday put a roadblock in front of, was deporting the people that were in the U.S. under that temporary program. I think the judge more or less said they need to review each case individually.
That's
madness.
That's madness.
Yeah, it's crazy.
500,000 people.
But,
and it was temporary, so I don't understand what the big deal is.
And deportations became a major topic during yesterday's cabinet meeting or presser. I don't even know what you call these things anymore. But you had Bukele sitting in there across from Trump, like we've seen world leader after world leader. And just like so many... This term, Trump had basically everyone on his team that was in D.C. was in that same room, from the Attorney General Pam Bondi to the Secretary of State. The VP Vance was sitting in his normal spot. Did you see what Vance – so the Ohio State Buckeyes were in D.C. yesterday to celebrate their national championship. And Vance, who is a huge Buckeyes fan, had his opportunity to pick up the national championship trophy. And the top of the trophy came detached from the base, and Vance fumbled it. And, you know, it's bad when you drop something, especially something that important. But the feeling that that person gets and the way it looks when they're fumbling, trying to catch it, and they don't catch it, tough moment there for Vance. He came back and said he was just breaking it so no one else could win a national championship.
Well, that was just that had to
Buckeyes.
Be very embarrassing for him, man.
Yeah,
there was a lot going on. The thing that I loved, that meeting or whatever that was, that press conference, it was really strange, right? Mm-hmm. You had the press was there, but they were in an area. You had the president of El Salvador.
And he's done this several times in that exact location world leaders.
Yeah, and so you had, but the whole team
remember
was
Remember Zelensky. This is exactly where he was.
Same spot, yeah. But we were able, it was like watching a comedy, but you also have a look at the audience being the president of El Salvador. He was so amused by all the way Trump was talking to Caitlin Collins, the way they were all kind of talking to Caitlin Collins, I guess. All that interaction, all that going on, this guy got a chance to be in right there, right next to Donald Trump, and watch it all. And you could see he was like, man, I'm getting some tips on how to run my press conferences right
here. I guess, yeah. And so Caitlin Collins, the role she's taken, remember that was Jim Acosta's role with CNN during Trump term. And he was, so she's like a less sassy Jim Acosta. She was a punching bag yesterday and has been already through the Trump second term.
So she was the one kept questioning about the guy that's imprisoned in
Garcia, the MS-13 member that the judge said you have to bring him back. Yeah. You took him to El Salvador illegally, and then that made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And there's been such an argument over what the Supreme Court's actual decision was. And Stephen Miller certainly feels a certain way about what that decision meant. He, on his own, outside of that presser, let the press have it for about 9 minutes in one video. But they asked the president of El Salvador, Bukele, yesterday whether he would return the man in question here, Kilmar Abrejo Garcia, to the United States. Here is what the El Salvadoran president had to say about that.
Return him to the United States. Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or whether I do, of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous.
Yeah, so the...
so he kind of... He felt the sense of comedy all around him, and he cracked his own joke right there. What am I going to do, smuggle him in?
What am I going to do? And so the argument from the Trump administration, they're... With that Supreme Court ruling last week, they're only required to remove domestic legal barriers, not demand his release from foreign custody. And Stephen Miller, he said it a lot yesterday. Here's just a small portion of what he has had to say.
He is El Salvadorian. He is an illegal alien. He was deported to El Salvador. I would welcome anyone here to tell me what country they think we should be sending El Salvadorian legal aliens to.
And that was his attitude throughout the day. You had Pam Bondi and Marco Rubio. They also piled on Caitlin Collins' question.
That's up to El Salvador if they want to return him. That's not up to us. The Supreme Court ruled, President, that if, as El Salvador wants to return him, this is international matters, foreign affairs. If they wanted to return him, we would facilitate it. Meaning, provide a plane.
And no court in the United States has a right to conduct the foreign policy of the United States. It's that simple. End of story.
So they've, especially with this tariff thing, we've seen different Trump administration officials say different things. They all seem to be on the same page as far as this case
is
concerned.
I love Miller, by the way. More Stephen Miller.
He's been getting after it, and he's been making more fans. There weren't as many fans of him in that first term. But you talked about kind of the comedy of it all, and Bukele enjoying Trump and his team kind of getting after the press. This was another part of that where Trump was asked about the numbers at the border and how many people are getting through.
Right.
And Bukele was trying to compliment him, and then it kind of took its own turn.
Actually, what you're doing with the border is remarkable. It has dropped, 95%? It's incredible.
Okay. As of this morning, 99%, 99.1%. To be exact.
Why are those numbers not in the media?
Well, they get out with the fake news, like CNN. CNN over here doesn't want to put them out because they don't like putting out good numbers. They only like putting out because I think they hate our country, actually. But it's a shame. You're right. Isn't that a great question? Why doesn't the media, why don't they put out numbers?
Yeah, 99%. I mean, it's crazy.
He's like egging him on. He says, oh, those are good numbers. Why aren't they reporting them?
So I didn't see the whole thing, and I didn't. It's almost like he got the vibe of what was going on. He said, I'll play along. What's up with you, CNN?
Yeah. And then what do we think about Trump saying some of the worst American criminals?
Yeah.
You'd be willing to send them too? Your thoughts on that, let us know on the Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106.
821, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. That's also the same number if you want to call the show, be part of the show. Again, 251-343-0106, Mobile Mornings. And Women in Space, we'll get around to that on the way.
Yeah, thanks, Kane. Speaking of that accident at Schillinger and Howell's Ferry, a couple of you texting in, and a picture of that from Doc as well. Thank you, Doc and JC. Accident doesn't look great. I heard Kane say with injuries. You have at least one vehicle in this picture from Doc with some front end damage, and then another vehicle flipped over on the top of the vehicle. So hopefully they are clearing that up, and hopefully no serious injuries involved. This segment brought to you by the great folks at Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a ton of people. They've been doing that hard work in our area for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. And the folks at Tobias and Comer Law, they're just great. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first hop on the phone to talk with them or knock on their door at their office. And they keep that communication up until it's all over. They don't pass that responsibility on to another lawyer you've never met who, well, might not even be from the area. They are from here, live here, work here, go to church and school, just like we do. And from car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents, and yes, maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. Their website's great, has a ton of useful information, including our podcast, Law 251. You'll find that at tobiascomerlaw.com. You'll also find the phone number there for a free consultation any time of the day. That number is 251-432-5001. Again, tobiascomerlaw.com.
827, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And the text line, Mallory Piping text line, 251-343-0106.
And a texter here said, so we were talking about being cloned, and you said if there's two of all of us, that might cause the world to cave in on itself just because of the extra weight.
I'm not a scientist, but if you double the population like that, the world collapses on top of itself. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to get on a limb. I'm going to get out on a limb. And if the world's about to collapse on itself, I would climb up to a limb and hopefully survive it all.
Smart. Yeah, that would work. This texter said, Dan said something about us being overpopulated with clones and tipping over. Said this brought this to mind. And I didn't click on the link. I imagine you're sharing former Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson saying the island of Guam would tip over if there were too many people on there that it would tip over.
Thank you, Hank.
That was an all-timer there.
Yeah.
Jason says cloning is playing God and is just as wrong as abortion. I'll just wait on the Tesla robot. Yeah, how about we haven't as a – now, everyone has their own I want to say opinion, but when you're talking about abortion, that almost seems like too light of a word to use because there's people that are very passionate on both sides. But as a world, as even as a country or a state, we haven't figured out the whole abortion debate. We haven't even started on the human cloning debate.
No.
So that's going to cause all kinds of feelings.
It's back in the queue.
Gene says, great reality show at the White House, and you actually believe what was said? Trump doesn't have the power to bring back anyone from anywhere? Really, who's that stupid? Gene, when did I ever say I believe anything a politician has said? I believe some things that are said, but only after really thinking about whether that person would tell the truth or not, or has a reason to tell the truth. So yeah, anything that's done on that stage, yeah, I'm looking at it through a lens that it might not be what they actually want to do.
I mean, if you paid attention to Trump during the tariffs alone, you know that he's not always telling you the straight up truth at any given moment. And that's not just him talking to somebody, that's him talking to the world.
Yeah. But it was a good show. And as far as the Trump administration saying, look, we can't bring him back, that's up to El Salvador. Yeah, if we wanted to bring him back, we'd bring him back. But that's the whole deal here.
Don't want to bring him back.
They're like, yeah, he's in El Salvador now. He's El Salvador's problem, and they've obviously worked out with Bukele. Yeah, don't bring it back.
She's asking the question, and the president of that country is sitting up there. It was the dumbest thing. 8:30, Dan and Dalton.
Look what I'm doing, man.
You know, I'm not. This front's going to come through, and I'm not going to be caught here sleeping, missing it all. So we do have, we at least have clouds with the front that's coming through that's not really doing anything else. It's maybe making it a little bit cooler tonight. But the sunny is going to remain sunny, but we do have a few clouds right now, which I'm thinking it could be the front of the front. It could be the back of the front, or it could be yeah. It could be the top of the
top front. Of the front.
See, I pulled up this map that's got the cloud covers on it. So let's see what happens here. What's going? It's going to drop below us.
Yeah, keep moving.
Yeah, to the south. All right. So the clouds that you see right now, that would be the front of the front. So hang on, it'll be sunny in just a little bit.
Yeah, tonight's going to feel great, possibly dipping into the 40s. We shall see. 251-343-0106, that is the Mallory Piping text line. And this is a texter, so it says, your Project 2025 is in full effect right now. It said, isn't Miller Mr. Project 2025? Let's talk about the project, please. And this, I need to change this. This texter doesn't have a name on here. I'm going to change it to Project 2025, because I'm looking back, almost every text is about Project 2025. So this person obsessed with that. And Stephen Miller, along with the rest of the Trump team, remember when that became a huge deal, Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation, what was it, like 1,000 pages, and they had all these different organizations and nonprofits kind of compile what they would like to see the next Republican administration do. And published that, and then they tried to link it to the Trump administration, and the Trump team said, listen, we like some of the ideas there, but Project 2025 isn't us. And then they did have a couple of the people that were involved in it have been in the Trump circles kind of since. But
what was so controversial about it?
Well, there were different parts and different things that people really wanted to see with the next Republican Party or next Republican term as the executive branch. And I remember, and I know the Trump administration, they liked a lot of the things that were in it, but they also didn't like a lot of the things.
Well,
the Heritage Foundation and some of them have a different opinion on abortion than mm-hmm. the Trump team does. Or let's see, I was looking up the most divisive parts of the Project 2025, expansion of executive power. Okay, they've done quite a bit of that here in this little bit. Suppression of, Project 2025 proposes measures that critics could argue could suppress dissent, such as expanding the use of the Insurrection Act to deploy the military domestically and targeting protesters with severe legal penalties. We haven't seen the military brought out to fight the Tesla firebombers yet. So
No. That's
a no on that one for Project 2025
right.
to this point. Roll back protections for LGBTQ plus individuals and redefine pornography laws to potentially criminalize LGBTQ content. I don't think that has happened yet.
No.
Let's see, environmental deregulation, there has been quite a bit of that. Restructuring of federal agencies, there has been quite a bit of that. So they're hitting on some of the parts of Project 2025, but I think there's some of them that the Trump team wasn't as fired up about, and certainly it was going to give them a hit going into the election.
They kind of ran from it. They definitely disassociated themselves with Project 2025 before the election, right?
Yeah, they did, for sure. And then this, and I'm seriously, I think this might snowball into something even larger than it is already, and it's already a big story. Carmelo Anthony, the 17-year-old who was accused of fatally stabbing Austin Metcalf in Frisco, Texas. So this was at a track meet, and I'm sure many of you already know this story, some more than others. Anthony actually was released from jail yesterday. You had a judge in Texas after already announcing last week that Anthony would not be facing the death penalty or life without parole, then yesterday reduced his bond from $1 million to $250,000, and Anthony bonded out, is now under, and that was all from crowdfunding, the money raised to get the bond. And I think I read the family said they had to move or something, and they bought a house with some of that, I believe. Anthony, who is under house arrest with an ankle monitor, faces a first-degree murder charge. The case will go to a grand jury. And because of his age, that's what the judge said, Because of his age, he will not face the death penalty or life without parole. Saturday, Metcalf was laid to rest, and his dad, which I thought rather quickly, was on national TV forgiving the teenager who stabbed his son.
Wow.
At the funeral, I guess, over the weekend, he urged compassion and warned against politicizing the tragedy. Well, the tragedy has been and will continue to be politicized, and there's a lot of people really angry with this judge's actions over the last few days, and really, you know, they were going after the crowdfunding site that was raising the money,
mm-hmm.
and I think that this could be used and will be used, and we'll see whether it catches on. But if they get a comment from Trump on this, and he says what I think Trump would probably say about a teenager who was in someone else's tent, and kind of, it seemed to me, kind of asking for this Metcalf to come after him. He was in Metcalf's tent and then stabbed him through the heart with a knife. I imagine Trump will have something to say about that, and that might kind of light the fuse here. And I wouldn't say we would see some big-time George Floyd-style protests, but I know there are people that would love to kind of stoke that and get more than just the old Woodstock liberals out there protesting every weekend.
A lot of those people are white.
Yeah,
like to start that crap.
Of course, yeah.
And a lot of them, those who donated to the crowdsourcing, or the fundraising, I should say, that was, you know, a lot of them were evidently liberals,
mm-hmm.
and white liberals. And so we'll see. I don't want to relive what we went through.
I've just seen so many people with such passionate opinions on this case out of Frisco that I could see this being used, like we've seen time and time again, used to stoke even further division.
Yeah.
And it is a divisive story. I have feelings. I think it's ridiculous that he's been let out on that kind of bond. But we'll see where this goes. Watch and see if Trump gets a comment on this and what happens after that.
Yeah, we'll see who asks him the question. I think we have an idea who that might be, but what's the closest thing we have to any video evidence or any verbal evidence of someone that was there?
Well, you have a lot of witnesses that were in the tent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was any video. I don't think there is.
So what are they saying?
Well, they're saying exactly that Carmelo Anthony was in the wrong tent, and I believe they had prior run-ins, and he had this weapon on him, this knife, in his bag, I believe.
Yeah.
And you had Metcalf trying to move him out of the tent because I think they knew he was trouble and had been causing trouble prior. And then I think that Anthony said, like, touch me and see what happens. And then I believe Metcalf tried to usher him out of the tent, and that's when he got stabbed through the heart.
Unreal.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I have a bad feeling this could end up being a big one nationwide, not just online and in Texas. And then you had yesterday the all-female space flight, Blue Origin.
Katy Perry said that the women were going to put the ass in astronaut.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was her quote. That's not trying to be Katy Perry.
And so you have, was it Lauren or Laura Sanchez, who is Bezos's new girl?
Yeah.
And I say new, I guess they've been with each other for a while now. But so she had these space, I don't know if you call it a uniform or an outfit. I guess it'd be a uniform. They had them specially made and form-fitting for the female astronauts. And so six women were on board here. You have CBS Mornings host Gayle King,
right.
And she is besties with Oprah, and Oprah was absolutely losing her mind on the ground. She was worried about her friend. You have Katy Perry, and let's see, film producer Carrie Ann Flynn, activist Amanda Gwynn, aerospace engineer Aisha Bowe, and of course Lauren Sanchez, and they list her in this Yahoo news story as an author, TV host, turned philanthropist, and also Jeff Bezos' fiance.
There's that.
So it was a suborbital flight, lasted just over 10 minutes. They went 62 miles above Earth, and that's the Kármán line. So that's what, and there's differing opinions, I guess, but most aerospace experts consider that the threshold of space. So they go just past that, a few minutes of weightlessness, which Katy Perry was selfieing the whole time, as you would imagine, and then returned safely to Earth. Now, imagine if this had gone wrong, and you're Jeff Bezos, and you just exploded your fiance and Katy Perry and Gayle King.
So
it'd be a bad look for Blue Origin. So,
yeah, like that thing that was that submarine. Remember that?
Yeah, the Titan submersible. Is that what they called it?
Blew up.
Yeah, imploded.
Imploded. Here's what I find interesting. Well, a lot of things about that story. You know, had my interests some, not so much the sorority sisters on board. Whatever.
You think they had a pillow fight? No, I'm sure they didn't.
I pull up space tourism companies. Mm-hmm. It shows 9 tourism companies, and it says there's 15 more.
Yeah.
So the big players that we read about are only a handful.
I'm glad you asked this. Yeah, because I was kind of digging in on this earlier. So you have 2 that do the suborbital space tourism like that.
Blue Origin,
but
SpaceX.
Virgin Galactic. So
okay.
A different billionaire.
Okay.
Richard Branson's spaceflight company. They have more extended missions. So it says here, Axiom Space organizes private missions to the International Space Station.
Wow.
Their upcoming mission, May 29th, so next month, will transport a crew of 4 for a 2 to 3 week stay aboard the International Space Station.
Well, that's more than 11 minutes that these ladies went. 11 minutes up and back, right?
I believe so. I don't think they spent 11 minutes above the suborbital line. I think that's how long the trip was.
Yeah, up and back in 11 minutes, which I was thinking, I've been... What have I done in 11 minutes? I've been on hold with Mars for 11 minutes at least once in my lifetime, probably more than that.
You could have gone to space and back. And so everyone's selling this.
I'm waiting on Margaret to come back through the line.
So this, and if you listen to the people on board, this was a seminal moment in feminism, right? This was about the divine feminine and how great women are. And I'm not saying women aren't great. Love women. And I don't have a problem with doing this flight. I think the real move with Bezos here, and not that any of us listening, maybe some of you can afford space tourism. I don't know what the ticket is right now. But this was about him saying, look, I will put my most precious cargo in my space capsule and I will rocket her to space and have her brought back down to show you how safe it is to fly. And if you don't believe that my fiance is the most precious cargo. I will also put Katy Perry in this capsule.
Yeah.
And for those of you who may be a little older and aren't as into Katy Perry, here's Gayle King. And so imagine if something had happened. People would be absolutely destroying Bezos right now and Blue Origin. But on the other hand, anytime he's selling these tickets going forward, he can be like, look who I felt confident enough to shoot into space. Now, on the other hand, you have Katy Perry and Gayle King talking about, you know, how much hard work they put into this and how great women are because of this flight. Here's what Gayle King
it's
had to say.
11 minutes.
And they both kissed the ground, okay?
It was 11 minutes.
They kissed the ground like Rory McIlroy after winning the Masters on Sunday. Here's Gayle King.
To me, it's such a reminder about how we need to do better, be better.
Mm.
Do better, be better human beings.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by that?
Processing. Well, it's so nasty and so vitriolic nowadays. And I mean, if everybody could experience that peace that we had up there and the kindness and what it takes to do what we did.
11 minutes.
All the people that it took to get us up there and get us back safely. I'll never, ever, ever forget.
I am glad you mentioned the people that helped get them up there and back safely. Yeah. They're the real bones in this operation.
Well, that's like you talked about Rory kissing the earth of Augusta, right?
Yeah.
After he grinded for 4 days to win that tournament.
After how many years?
And then you had the 16 years where he was chasing it, I guess. Anguish in the poor guy's heart. They were, do I have to repeat the time again? 11 minutes from the time they took off to the time they got back.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a life-changing 11 minutes, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to,
Well, everyone should do it, Dan. That's what she said. Wow. Everyone should have that moment of peace.
Well, I like she said, do better, be better. Do better, be better. Okay, do better, be better. I kind of get it. And then the reporter says, what does that mean? It means do better and be better.
She was pretty clear in what she meant.
She could have been any more clear.
Being 62 miles above the Earth's atmosphere, she's able to see what we're all doing wrong down here. We just need to do better and be better. It's that simple. So Katy Perry, she was also feeling it when she came back down. And, well, she got in touch with her feminine roots while she was up there.
The highest high, and it is surrender to the unknown, trust, and this whole journey is not just about going to space.
Of course not.
It's the training, it's the team, it's the whole thing. I couldn't recommend this experience more. This is, like, up there with all the...
This is her Yelp review.
You know, different tools that I've learned in my life, from meditation to the Hoffman process. This is up there because what you're doing is you're like really finding the love for yourself, because you got to trust in yourself on this journey. And then you're feeling the love when you come down, for sure. And you're feeling that strength. So I feel really connected to that strong divine feminine right now.
By the way, you're such a badass. I love that the...
you're such a badass.
What is Katy Perry going to do if by midday Thursday she feels like crap? Like, she's in a blue mood.
Yeah.
She's angry about this or that. She's not quite fitting into her outfits. I mean, how long is this euphoria going to stay with Katy Perry?
Well, she's also apparently going to incorporate her brief trip to space into her next album and the songwriting process there. So we'll really get to know how she feels, and her team of 30 songwriters, how she feels about this trip to space. And I love how she lumped it in with other self-help things you can do. Like, Doc, I'm just having so much trouble finding peace. Yeah. You know, I've got all this going on in my world. I've tried transcendental meditation. I go to church. Nothing's working. The doc goes, have you tried taking a 10-minute ride to space and back?
10 minutes tops, toots. It won't be, you can have dinner at your favorite restaurant later that day. So, and thank God that Taylor Swift didn't go up there.
Oh, my goodness.
She'd still be talking. That press conference would end around Friday.
And how many on-earth shots of Travis Kelce while she goes up and back down? Who should we send next? Who should we send on the next flight?
Well, so it was a team of women right there. So which the next team that we send up?
I think we send up Zelensky and Putin, and we figure this thing out in the Blue Origin capsule.
Not a bad idea. I was going to say the Globetrotters, but I see what you're saying. Well, the Empowering Women Blue Origin flight, that... True, it went a long way from Earth, but it was pretty much a ride from here to the Publix on Florida, if you look at the time.
And that's more dangerous, that ride.
Dan says, trust in yourself. You know, the quote, I guess, was that Katy or that was Gail King? They sent dogs and chimps into space. These ladies were simply cargo. Yeah, well, that's not how they saw it.
Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't take courage. I'm not exactly, you know, first on board. And I'm actually, I would feel much safer traveling to space knowing Katy Perry took the same trip. But, I mean, come on. It's, you look at what astronauts have gone through to get to where they've gotten. And then you have Gail King saying, I just wish everyone would treat each other better. You go, okay, thanks, Gail. Tim says, so as far as that case out of Frisco, Texas, the Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf said, why don't they just let the kid out and act like nothing ever happened? They're actually getting pretty lenient. And let's see, Jerry Fort Morgan says, I wish the twin brother would have pulled the knife out of his heart and then gotten Anthony. Yeah, it's... I mean, terrible for that community, but I just see this becoming an even bigger story, and I think it'll be used that way. We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong, but this could be one of those where you end up seeing protests because of people taking one side or the other out of this stabbing in Frisco. Chris in Orange Beach said, do you know why they had to touch down in the desert? Because the Navy wasn't coming to get there. Coming to get them. No aircraft carrier for you, baby girl. Your mom on the text line says, say what you want, but it was not the first unmanned space flight. let's see. What would they have thought if a transgender male went along on the all-female trip? I know what they would have said, but what would they have thought?
They would have thought one thing, they would have said another.
Martin says a couple of the women that went into space should have been left there. Mm-hmm. Maximus says, not the first time Katy Perry has been over and kissed something. Maximus. Maximus. This is a morning show. Joel and Summerdale just as angry about this all-female flight that was 10 minutes as he is some of the things that go on around here. He said, they flew up in a damn airplane for 10 minutes. They act like they've saved the world. Whatever. This texter, we all experienced 11 minutes of peace and tranquility while they were gone.
Yeah, thank you, ladies.
Doesn't have meta says, liberals trying to make space a religion. Listen to what they're saying, trying to replace God as usual. Yeah, I didn't hear Gayle King or Katy Perry talk about God. Katy Perry, I think she is religious, right? She's,
I don't know.
She started, and she certainly, the peak of her career, she was not a Christian artist, I would say. Well, but I think she began as a Christian music artist.
Oh, wow. Is that?
I think so. I might be wrong
way,
on that.
By the way, what firm did William Shatner use when he went up? Was that
SpaceX? May have been Blue Origin as well. What was that? It was either Blue Origin or SpaceX.
Remember
yeah.
his reaction when he came back? It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really moved by it.
Yeah, it was intense.
Yeah, and he's like 90.
He is up there.
Way up there.
Yeah.
But he was able to express himself just fine, and it was cool because of his age, and his reaction was very pure. Very genuine.
And I think it's awesome. I think it's a cool trip. But maybe it's because of the actors here involved, Katy Perry and Gayle King. I mean, it's just so. It's like already a dramatic experience,
and they're drama queens.
Well, and then
the lecturing
when you get back,
yeah.
And you tell it, it's like, okay, thanks. Yeah, you took an awesome trip. We don't need to be lectured.
Yeah.
Thanks a ton. Let's see. Monty says, please stop with the Spaceballs report. Monty, we like making fun of Katy Perry and Gayle King on their space trip. Don't take that away from us, and you can't. Ultra Runner says, I feel that when Trump makes comments like sending American criminals to foreign prison, it is an opening salvo in a negotiation. You open higher than where you would settle, and with Trump, everything is a negotiation. Yeah, maybe he'd settle for putting them on an island in the Caribbean. I don't know. In the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, yeah.
Gulf of America.
He said it for a reason, whatever that reason might be.
Art says, let's see. Okay, he's also upset about the Blue Origin space report. I didn't know people would be upset we would talk about this. I mean, it's a big story. Morning, guys. I know you're working hard with that business about those six ultra-rich, privileged liberals taking a joyride into space. It was boring, wasted airtime. I never heard about any of those six women. You can do better. Interesting.
All right, thanks, buddy. Says 6:59. Our show is over, so that you should be delighted. Jeff Moore is on the way next.